As we transition to the message this morning, just a reminder for those who may be guests this morning, all are welcome to come to the Lord's table. We come forward the center aisle. The pulpit will be moved at that point, and we'll partake at the table. There are longer pieces of bread to dip to the communion cup. You can partake at that time and then return to your seat using the side aisles. We also have out by the giving stations in the hallway, there are two places for the offering, and also there are the communion kits. And so those are there if you'd rather use a kit instead, that's available as well. But after the message, I'll have a prayer and then do the words of institution of our Lord and have the Lord's Supper. And that's when we come forward in this service. The sermon title for this morning is an interesting title. I didn't mean to be cute about it, but I think it works if you listen to the message. The title is simply, Hi-Ho, Hi-Ho. And I think you'll know what that means. There are two scripture readings, but I could have selected a great number of readings. I went through the concordance and looked for the word work and looked up a number of readings. It was very interesting. One I found referenced Abraham in the Old Testament. Abraham, you remember, was blessed by God, and his calling in life was to be then, God said, a blessing to others, the father of all nations. Imagine being charged in your life for what you do to be a blessing to others, and that was Abraham's call. And so the first reading I'm going to read is from the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, just the one verse, verse 22. Listen now for God's holy word to us. So I saw that there is nothing better than that all should enjoy their work, for that is their lot. Who can bring them to see what will be after them? And then the second reading from Colossians, again in the third chapter, verses 16 and 17, and then I'll jump to verse 23. But I would encourage you to go back and read a good part of chapter 3. It's a good reading. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever your task, put yourself into it as done for the Lord and not for your masters. Let's pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, as we come to the message that you have tailor-made for each one of us, silence, we pray, silence in us any voice but your own. As we consider the things that we are doing now in our lives, what we are doing, whether it's in retirement or in school or working, we pray that you would never allow us to believe or feel for one minute that what we are doing and spending our time doing is unimportant. Rather, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to affirm that what we are doing is both valuable and important and purposeful. Oh God, if our mindset and perspectives need changing today, we pray that you will do that. And we pray in anticipation that you will help each person here in their journey in life. And we pray this prayer in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, during this month of September, I want to offer several sermons on what has been called the grand essentials for happiness. Now, this phrase, the grand essentials for happiness, it comes from a man named Joseph Addison. Joseph Addison, he coined this phrase in the 17th century. Imagine that long ago. And Joseph Addison was a poet, a playwright, and a politician. What a combination that was. Addison wrote that the grand essentials to happiness in any person's life consist of three things. The first one was having something to do. The second, having someone to love. And the third one, having something to hope for. Now, I would say to you, that sounds simple, doesn't it? Something to do, someone to love, something to hope for. Grand essentials for living. simple, but I would argue very profound. And I would argue as well, they're very much a part of the scriptural principles we have in our Bible to us today. And I have personally come to believe that while they sound so simple, they are profound. And so today, the sermon on this Labor Day weekend, today's message is on the importance of the first key of the grand essential for happiness, and that is having something to do. Behind today's message is a question important to each one of us. And that question, or a series of questions, could be, what do you plan to do in your lives this afternoon? What do you plan to do today? What do you plan to do tomorrow? What do you plan to do 6 weeks from today? Or what's your goal for 6 years for today? Because how we spend our time is important. And whether it's what you'll do with your next vacation or your plans on what you will do differently in retirement or in your work life, perhaps you're working several jobs and you've decided, you know, I'm just going to work one job, or I'm going to work part-time and retire, or I'm retired but I want to do something and go back to work. There's lots of decisions to be made about what we do in our lives with our time. And it is the need, I believe, that God has planted within each one of us to have something meaningful to do throughout our lives. Not just at one point, but through all of our lives, to have something meaningful to do with our time. Something to do. That's the challenge facing many of our high school graduates, not just this year, but every year. The challenge to what they will devote their lives to, what they'll give their lives to. And of course, as you know, the studies say that most young people nowadays and young adults, they'll have not just one profession in life, but maybe five or six different careers. That's the way the trend is going. When I was growing up, this was referred to not what you'll give your life to or find something meaningful to do, but what you feel called to do, what's your vocation. That's a significant moment when you realize your vocation, your calling. I thought for years when I was in high school, I was working in the church, helping during summers with our youth group, and then in college, I would come back each summer and help with our youth group, and it just felt good and it felt right to work within the church and to help the pastor and the members of the church and to care for those in need. I enjoyed doing that so much, it ended up being a natural calling, in a sense, to me. It was natural to take the next step after college into seminary. But I would say to you, there was a second track I was on privately for a while in high school. I was working out all the time, and in the 1970s, believe it or not, in high school, I was drinking protein drinks and about every other evening eating a stalk of bananas, trying to gain weight and get ready for football. And some of you remember yesterday, Alabama, the University of Alabama played Middle Tennessee State University. I was on that Middle Tennessee State team back in 1980. And in the first year, I was injured. I hyperextended a knee. It didn't require surgery, but it made me pause and think for a whole year getting better from that knee injury. And I didn't realize it, but God was planning to have me on the sidelines for some time, because in my junior year, the beginning of my junior year, the end of my sophomore year, I tried out for the cheerleading squad. I saw a flyer, tried out for the squad, and for the next couple of years, my junior and senior year, I attended every football game on the sidelines and every basketball game. I really got to like basketball. I didn't realize how many games they played in a given season. Football was a lot easier, but it was real work. But God, I found, always had a plan. He had a plan in that. There was a reason for that. And I could tell a lot of stories about that time in my life. But finding your calling in life is a real challenge. And oftentimes it happens throughout life. It doesn't just happen just once. But I find oftentimes in my life I've been called to several different churches. And I think that happens to each one of us in terms of we receive God's calling, a calling to do something new all through our lives. It never ends. God is never finished with us. I'm reminded of the saying, the question that I heard recently, it reminded me of this, about what are the two most important days in a person's life? And you know the first one, I hope. The most important day in your life is the day you were born. And the second most important, so the saying goes, the second most important day is when you discover why you were born. Friends, the Christian belief is not that what we do in our lives is to be in vain or to be done with hardship, but it is our Christian belief that what we do in our lives is God's calling us to have meaning and purpose throughout our lives in what we do with our time. And so this morning, in the time that we have remaining on this Labor Day weekend Sunday, when we are considering not only the importance of our work, but what we do in life, I want to suggest just two spiritual principles that may help us if we need to have an attitude adjustment about thinking about what we do and our work. And so principle number one, having something meaningful to do is really, ultimately, something that comes to each one of us as a gift from God. Every time that happens, it's a gift of God when we have something meaningful and purposeful that we're putting ourselves to. It should be our attitude that it is a privilege to do what we are doing in life at any time, to find meaning in what we are doing, even if we have to wring it out and say, Lord, tell me, what is this time for that I'm doing this? And it could well be a time of preparation for something else. You may remember, of course, the film Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Walt Disney, he made this movie. It was made after the Great Depression and after the stock market crash of 1929. And then in the 30s, when people were getting back to work, Walt Disney felt there ought to be a film that showed the joy of working and finding meaning in what you do. Do you remember those dwarves? I'm sure you can remember all of their names, right? Where did they work? You know where they worked? The mines, and they mined gemstones, diamonds, if you will. But many people during that particular time I'm talking about, the late 20s and the 30s, they hadn't been able to find work for many years. And finally, when they were able to go back to work, they were so glad to do almost anything. They were overjoyed with getting work to do. And thus the song in the movie, the lyrics that so many of us know, they go, hi-ho, hi-ho. How does it end? Those are not the original lyrics to the song, hi-ho. And I didn't know this until I rewatched the movie. So if you're looking something to do on Labor Day, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is a dandy movie. But the original song, hi-ho, the lyrics to that song were, hi-ho, hi-ho, from work to home we go. From work to home we go. The refrain that's offered in the movie after Snow White kisses the dwarves on the top of the head and they blush red, they go off to work and it's, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. But I hadn't remembered the original version was, hi-ho, hi-ho, from work to home we go. I didn't remember that. And I've come to really like that song once again because it talks about a balance between work and rest from our labors that's needed. We should have a joy about going off to work. We should also have a joy about the time for a Sabbath time, a time of relaxing. A balance between work and rest is so very important. And that's also a gift from God. What would it take? Think about this. What would it take for you to get out of bed tomorrow morning and change your mindset about the things you are doing or going to do in a given day? What would it take to change your mindset so that you turn it not into some sort of drudgery or something that you want to escape from, but something that's positive? It reminds me of a sticker about someone who apparently was negative about life or about work and the purpose of work. It goes like this, I owe, it's off to work, I go. A better view of work comes from someone who has written this. And I like this. When we work at something, we are most like how God created us in whatever we are doing. Because we are created in the image of God. Meaning God is really good at creating. And if we are creating in God's image, then we will be creative as well in what we do. It's in our DNA, you see, to be creative. And as I was writing this morning, as I was writing this sermon this past week, it kept coming to my mind the number of people over the years that I have been greeted by at church, in my church life, especially on Sunday morning. I can remember people often, even today, coming to me and saying in the morning, "Good morning, Pastor," and then they'll say, from Psalm 118, "This is the day the Lord has made," and then they'll wait on me, "and we will rejoice and be glad in it." I like that attitude, and I've known many, many people who've had it. But when you do some good, honest work, whatever it is, whether you've been painting or creating a piece of art or a project that you've done on your computer or some sort of project for school, fixing something with your hand, perhaps a business transaction that's taking place that you've been a part of, or perhaps you've accomplished something in an exercise or diet program, or just taken a daily walk. Have you ever felt, when you've done something, a sense of accomplishment? If you have, I believe that's God smiling. I believe that's God blessing what you are doing. And sometimes in doing what you're doing and completing it, and finishing what you're doing, even privately, you may have stopped for a moment and just clenched your fist and said, "Yes, I got it done. It happened." Don't you see, when we take pride in what we do, and when we give 100% to what we are doing, it can fill us with a sense of dignity and a sense of purpose as a human being. And I believe it does bring God a smile to God's face when anytime we find meaning and purpose in what we do in life. And that's because having something to do throughout our lives is really a grand essential for living. And I believe it's in the purpose of God. That's the first spiritual principle, that it is a gift from God our Creator to have something meaningful to do. And the second principle is much shorter than the first. But the second principle I would ask us all to embrace on this Labor Day weekend is this. Do everything, approach every task that you undertake, not as if you're doing it for yourself, but as if you're doing it for the Almighty, as if you're doing it for God. If others aren't appreciative of what you're trying to do, should you still try to give it your absolute very best? And the answer is, of course, absolutely. You should still give it your very, very best, because ultimately, you see, you're not working for that human being who's your supervisor and you're doing what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, you're just not trying to please someone. What you are doing is ultimately for God. And ultimately, it is only God who is going to judge you with what you do in your lives and in your work, and no one else. Whatever you are doing, do it as if the person seeing you do it is none other than the person of Jesus Christ with you. And so whatever you do, do it with all your might, all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Someone once said, and I love these quotes by Mother Teresa, they said to her while they saw her working with the poorest of the poor, a person said, "Mother Teresa, I wouldn't do what you are doing for all the money in the world." And Mother Teresa responded, "I wouldn't either." See, because she realized what she's doing was not for money. It wasn't for anyone else. It was only for God that she was caring for the poorest of the poor. See what you are doing in your life as doing it for God. And so as we come to the Lord's table today, we are reminded that this is a table of grace and that whatever we are doing, God will make some meaning and purpose from it. It is by the grace of God that God understands the essential need of every human being is to have something meaningful and something purposeful to do in life. And so let us pray as we come to the table now. Oh Lord, now as we come to your table, remind us that everything we do is a gift from you. Our work, the things we spend our time in doing, the gift of time is something you have given us. And so, gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us in everything we do, and pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts today of bread and wine, that the bread and the cup that we bless, may they be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. And, oh God, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, you offer us forgiveness for all of our sins, and that if we confess our sins, we know that you are faithful and just, and you forgive us of our sins, and you cleanse us of an evil conscience. We thank you that we come to this table as a table of your grace and forgiveness. And Lord, as we do come, bind us to Christ and set us free for joyful obedience to him and glad service in everything we do. And as Jesus gave his life for ours, help us to give our lives for others with humility and persistent courage and love. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.